Jude, verse 24 and 25. Kind of keep your Bibles there, please, if you will. We'll refer to that in just a moment again. Our God is able. We serve a God who is able to deliver us, to keep us, to strengthen us. Now, he's able to deliver us, keep us, strengthen us through any and every circumstance of life. If you believe that, can you say amen? But so many people are facing all kinds of difficulties, heartaches. Many are asking the question, is there any way out? That question is literally being asked. Is there any way out? Is there anyone who can help? Is there anybody able to help me? I want to assure you tonight, there is someone. And his name is Jehovah God. This place ought to be crying out, amen, glory, praise the Lord. So a few old fuddy-duddies going, amen. I'll say it one more time, see if you get in the act here. I said, I want to assure you there is somebody who can help us. His name is Jehovah God. Now, the way you experience that help, though, is through the person. Now listen closely, because here it is. The way you experience that help is through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Remember in this book of Jude, if you read, it's only one chapter, if you read all those verses, just 25 verses, if you read those verses, you will find out that it talks about warning us about men creeping into our fellowships, into our churches, into our very lives, who are false prophets, who will give to you doctrines of devils. In other words, false doctrines. So remember that. You've got to remember that he tells us to be very, very careful. Very, very on guard, especially in these last days in which we live, because there will be men creeping in unawares. You won't even know they're here until they're already here. Creeping in unawares. Prophets who are false. Doctrines that are false. And then he says in verse 24 and 25, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. Now let me ask you a couple of questions. Have you ever faced a situation? Anybody here besides me? Have you ever faced a situation and wondered if you could ever be delivered from it? Have you ever faced a situation in life and wondered, could I be delivered from this? You said in your mind, I know God is able. I go to church. I know he's able. But the difference in believing in the mind and knowing or believing in your spirit is something else. We must understand God. Now, let me give you an illustration. For example, today, I heard today on the news, just real quickly as I was getting ready to come over, I heard on the news that there's a plane that was lost and crashed, and all the folks died. Now, you know, I like to fly, and yet I don't like those stories just before I fly to be told by the news media. I'd rather them not talk about plane crashes and all that stuff. Amen? Anyway, so how do you do this? Now think with me a minute. How do you do this? Let's say a jet plane crashes and 200 or 300 people die. Now, right away, if God is able, now come on, everybody, if God is able, why did God allow that to happen? Now, why could they not find that plane? And why did the news tonight say they had 20 seconds to correct something, and it would have averted the whole wreck, the whole tragedy, and it never would have happened? Now, right away, then we say, if God is so able, preacher, then why didn't God help those folks to find out what to do in that 20-second period of time and change it, all that? What happened? Why, if God is so able, why did he do something? Or let's say this. Let's say a dear loved one dies. Unexpectedly. I'm not talking about an elderly saint who's 85 or 90 or 95 years of age. We kind of expect him to go to glory. But there's a tragedy happened. Maybe walking out of the church and all of a sudden die of a heart attack as he walks. Or he walks in his house and suddenly dies. Or a child suddenly chokes to death or dies. Why? You say, if God is so able, why? Why does he let that happen? And so maybe some things happen to you, or maybe some things happen to you financially, or things happen to you physically, like Brother John. Why? If God is so able, why? Now, we know, don't we? We know that we ask these types of questions. If God is so able, why doesn't he? Why did God let that happen? And so on. Sometimes we look at situations, and then we question whether or not God is able in all things, or just some things. I believe, and I've not lived all my life yet, but I believe, as a 65-year-old man, I believe God is able without any limitations. Amen. There needs to be more amens there. If you really believe it, if you don't believe it, just grunt. But I honestly believe, all of my study and all of my prayers and all of my dedications to God, I believe somehow that God is really indeed able. I honestly do. I believe it. I do. Now, six things. Number one, write this one down. To him who is able. Just real simple. To him who is able. As you contend for the faith, and by the way, we are going to contend for the faith in some of the worst times known to man. We're amongst false prophets. We're amongst false doctrines. You have no reason, however, as you contend for the faith, you have no reason to be afraid. He is able to keep you from falling. That word able comes from the Greek word dunamis. And that Greek word dunamis means the one who has the power, unlimited power, the power of God. Think about that in our lives. Unlimited, omnipotent power of God. Do you realize what I realize? There is no power equal to the power of God. I don't think there's any power equal to the very power of God. Is that correct? There's no power. There's not a devil. There's not an imp. There's not a demon. There's nothing that's more powerful than God. I am literally, as a pastor, convinced that there is no power greater than the power of God. Now, that same power that I just talked about lives inside of me. That same power that I just talked about lives inside of you. If you're saved, born again, have trusted Jesus Christ, His Holy Spirit of God came inside of you. Now, you have the power living within you. Go to some scriptures. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. Think about the power of God, the unlimited, omnipotent, no power equal to. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Why? Because greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. That power that is in us is greater than all the power in the world. Can you believe it? Look at Genesis chapter 17. Verses 1 and 2, and when Abram was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty. I am the Almighty God. Do you see what he said? Walk before me and be thou perfect. Verse 2, and I will make my covenant between me and thee and will multiply thee exceedingly. Now remember, God said, I am Jehovah God. He is the omnipotent one. And he lives in me. I'm going to multiply your seed, Abram, as the sand of the sea, as the stars in the skies. I am Almighty God. Do you believe he is? Here's a Wednesday night service. Here we're not the whole church here, but we're here. We're here having church. It's a Thursday night that we're having church. It's a different kind of a name. But listen, God is an almighty God. And I believe with all of my heart, if that be so, and the word of God is so, then my God is able to do all things according to the scripture. What about Revelation chapter 1, verse number 8? I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come. What? Which is to come, the... Everybody, he is the Almighty. I am Almighty God. He said that in the Old Testament, and he said it again here in the New Testament. I am the Almighty God. I'm here tonight to just remind you who you're serving. Get your head out of the sand. Get yourself out of discouragement. God, my God, our God, is able to do more, exceedingly more, abundantly more than we even ask or think. But God cannot do anything which would be a violation of his own nature. Now think with me. God cannot do anything that would be a violation of his character. For example, there's some things that God can't do. Did you know that? For example, God cannot lie. It'd be against his nature. It'd be against his will. My God, listen, somebody needs to say amen right here. My God cannot lie. He will not lie. He cannot lie. It'll be against his nature. It'll be against his character. He cannot do that. My God cannot deny himself. He cannot. My God cannot deny himself. I'll tell you one more thing God cannot do. My God cannot. Listen, he cannot be tempted to sin. He cannot. There's some limitations. God has self-imposed limitations. You know, God, did you ever understand this as you read the scriptures and study the Bible? Did you know that God would not save his son from the cross? He would not. He would not. Could he have? Could my God have saved his son, Jesus, from the cross? Yes, he could. But he chose not to spare his own son. God will not exercise his omnipotent power to violate his own will. I want you to understand this. God will never exercise his omnipotent power to violate his own will. There is a plan that God has. I want to ask you a couple of questions about that. Do we know, does God still heal today? Now, are you sure about that? Does God still perform miracles today? Are you sure about that? If somebody came up to you and said, but I got proof that he doesn't, what would you say? You'd have to either give a liar, you have to either give him your testimony or something, but does God heal today? Does God perform miracles today? All right, let me ask you another question. Why doesn't God then go to all the hospitals and heal everybody at one time? Could not God say the word and everybody in that hospital be healed immediately and get up and go home and be healed immediately? Could he do that? God could do that, but God chooses not to do that. You know why? It's not in his plan. It's not in his will. And God will never exercise his power and violate his own will. He will never violate his own character. Now listen, in the Bible, did we hear in the Bible that God raised the dead? Who do you know that was raised? Somebody shout a name out to me. Who do you know? Lazarus, right away. Somebody says Lazarus. So Jesus and God can raise the dead? He can, can't he? Well, wasn't there a little daughter of a guy by the name of Jairus that was also raised from the dead? Yeah. So can God raise the dead? Yes or no? Could God raise the dead today? Well, then why doesn't God do it? Why doesn't God go out to the cemetery and raise everybody and bring everybody back so everybody can be happy again because all of our loved ones are sitting with us at church again? Listen, I want to ask a question. Can God raise the dead? But will he? It's not his plan. If it was in his plan, he would. If it's not his plan, he will not. If it's not his character, he will not. You see, God will never exercise his power and challenge his own character. He'll never violate his own character. He'll never violate his own will. No, sir. He does not because he cannot. God could raise the dead all over the world, but he does not. Not because he cannot, but because it does not fit into the will of God. Now, so God only works in keeping with his big plan and his will for the world and for individuals. He is able. Listen to me. He is able. I think you can see the power and the fingerprint of God everywhere you look. I mean, I think you can. You know, Lucas asked his daddy, do those fireworks break heaven? Well, they don't break heaven, but to the little guy's eyes, it looked like they might have broken heaven. You can't break anything that God has made. God is the ultimate. He's all power. He's almighty. Listen, be encouraged tonight. Our God is able. What are you going through that you need God's help? What are you going through that has misunderstandings attached to it or financial stress attached to it or whatever else? Listen, listen, listen. God wants you to be blessed. He wants you to be blessed above all things. He wants you to have everything you want. He does want to bless you. And he's able. Now remember, he will never violate his own character. He'll never violate his own nature. He will never violate his own will. But I want you to know this, nothing is impossible with God. Now, there's another phrase I want to put on the screen. You can never tax the power of God. Is that true? You can never tax the power of God. Can you think of anything that would ever wear God out? Look at me, everybody. Do you have anything in mind that could ever wear God out? You say, ooh, God's going to be awful tired after he gets done with this. When I'm saying you can't ever tax God, in other words, you can't ever drain God. You can't drain God's energy. You can't drain God's power. You can't drain God's knowledge. Is there anything? You know, I got thinking about that this afternoon as I was studying. Can you think of anything that could ever wear God out? Yes or no? No, no. Can you think of anything that could tax his strength? No. No, because his power comes from an eternal, infinite source. That power, energy, will never run out. God is able. God can do anything his will provides. If God wants to create something, guess what? It can and will be created. Come on, amen. If God wants to create something, he can speak it into existence. He's able. If he wants to divide a Red Sea and make the children of Israel walk across on dry ground, God can do that. He's able. Come on, amen? If he wants to deliver from Egypt, he can do that. If he wants to knock down Jericho walls, he can do that. And by the way, wasn't there a day that the sun stood still? Wasn't there a day that it didn't rain? And then wasn't there a day it rained? Well, God can do anything he wants to do. You say, well, that can't ever happen. Oh, sure it can. Whatever God wants to do, God can do. He's able. He's omnipotent. He's our God. As you think of all the miracles in the Old Testament, the New Testament, and the display of power, God can do anything because God is able. Have I convinced you of that tonight? Would you say, not just with your head, but with your heart, I know God is able, and I know whatever situation I'm in, maybe it's a sickness, maybe it's a financial deal, maybe it's interpersonal relationships. I don't know what it is, but your God is able to help you with any and every situation. Amen. Now, he is. Now let's stop here and think about Roman numeral number 2. The most important miracle and display of power is what? It's not raising the dead. It's not healing the sick. The most important miracle and display of power is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You know, that gives the validity to everything else Christ said. Listen, if you and I do not have a resurrected Savior, we have nothing. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 4. For though he was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God towards you. An expression of his power. That's what that verse is talking about. An expression of his power. Roman number 3. Because my God is able, guess what? Because my God is able, and I want you to say the rest of that line. Because my God is able, say it one more time. Because my God is able. Preacher, now are you sure about that? Ladies and gentlemen, because God is able. You see that kind of like a question mark. I am able? Because God is able, I am able. Now, is that true or not true? It's a truth. Why? Because his Holy Spirit lives down inside you. If he's able, and I've just proved through the scriptures, he's able. Now, if that's the truth, then you're able. Look at Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. I can do all things through Christ. Does it not say that? I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I can face anything victoriously, triumphantly, through Christ. Our God is able. Look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18 and 19. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. One day that happened to you who are saved. The enlightenment came. Thank God for the enlightenment. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. The omnipotent God is working and living in me. He is working and living in you. If you are saved and born again, the mighty, omnipotent power of God is working in and through you. It doesn't matter what we're facing, how bleak it looks. You know a God. You have a Father who has all the power and is able, and he's willing to release to you that power. I believe one of the things that's missing in most Christians and churches is that we just don't believe properly about having the power of God. I think we're weak. But we should understand that if he's able, I'm able. His power lives in me. I am so able because he is so able. Number 4. He is able. Jude verse 24 says he's able to keep us from falling. Now to him that is able to keep you from falling. Isn't that good to know? He's able to keep you from falling. By the way, you can't keep yourself. You will fall. But it says here, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. So number 4 simply says this. He is able to keep us from falling or stumbling into sin. You know what he does? He guards over us. I appreciate my God. I know what he does for me. He helps me. He watches guard over me. He protects me. He cares for me. He walks by my side. He looks in on me all the time because he loves me. You need to have that understanding about God. God's not some austere figure up in heaven all by himself. He walks with you. He loves you. You're able because he's able. Right. Number 5, moving right along. If he is able, now here, we've got to stop and think about this. If he is able, why doesn't he? If he is able, why doesn't he? Why doesn't he prevent us from getting ourselves in such messes? How many, even after you got saved, got yourself in a mess or two? Could I see your hand? You got yourself in a mess or two somewhere, somehow, some way, and you said, how in the world did I ever get in this mess? And then you said to God, God, why don't you help me? Why do you keep me from getting in this mess? Come on, amen. I talk to normal people. So you scare me sometimes because you look so spiritual, so religious. Folks, we're just people, and we get ourselves in messes. And then we say to God, God, why didn't you help me out with that? Let me ask you another question. Do you think God's ever late? He never is late? Never. No, I don't think he is either. Do you think God ever is ever up in heaven doing this? Oh, what am I going to do about Pastor Lewis? And he preached that message and made some people really mad. I don't know what I'm going to do with that preacher. Man, what am I going to do? Do you think sweat's on his brow? Huh? Now take, you know, I use me because I can use me. But let's just take you. Let's take Brother Mott. What am I going to do with that gray-headed old man down there? Do you think God ever says, I don't know what in the world to do. I don't know what to do with that young couple. I don't know. Boy, I've tried, and they just won't listen to me. You think God ever does that? I don't think God ever does that stuff. I'll be honest, I don't think he wrings his hand. I don't think there's any sweat on his brow. I don't think he stays up late. I don't think he does that at all. Not at all. He knows what to do. He never says, I don't know what to do. He never says, man, my back's against the wall. God doesn't talk like that. Is there anything that's ever a surprise to God? You surprise me by the way you walk. You surprise me because you don't give right. That surprises me. You think God ever does that? I don't think there's anything a surprise to God. I think God knows it all. Make sense? You know, you have a free will. And ladies and gentlemen, people know the truth. You know what sin is. And I want to say this to you, everybody. You play with sin, and sin will wrap its tentacles around you like a serpent. Listen to me closely. And then he'll get you in a vice of sin. And then you'll say, God, why did this happen to me? And you know all the time. You were playing with sin. You look at those porno pictures or watching those flicks on TV or going to that movie show or dipping that snuff or drinking a little bit on the side or cussing just a little bit. You know. You already know. Listen, it's not a surprise to God, but you allowed the tentacles of sin to wrap around your life. And you got greedy. And I got to make the money here. And I got to do this now. And I can't come to church, preacher. And you have to just excuse me. You have to understand. And all of a sudden, more tentacles wrap around and more tentacles. And then you wake up someday and you say, what in the world happened? Why did God? I've tried my best. You know all the time what happened. You let his tentacles of sin wrap around your life. And when those tentacles of sin wrap around your life, I'm telling you, I've seen it over and over and over again. The vice begins to grip, and all of a sudden everything gets tighter and tighter. And we say, oh God, why are you letting it happen? You know the truth. You just didn't live the truth. You knew what to do. You knew how to answer. You knew what to say. You knew when to say no. But you did it anyway. And the tentacles of sin start wrapping. And so I think we ought not play with sin so that the tentacles don't wrap around us. If you choose to violate the truth you know, did you know that that's sin? But if you choose to violate the truth, you know God is not going to act against your chosen will. He will put pressure on you to make it difficult for you to sin. But if you make a choice, you can't blame anybody but yourself. Some of these teenage kids are blaming mom and dad and our church and our preacher and this and that. Listen, you know what's right to do. And when we don't do it, it's our own fault. You know, a guy who gets drunk would never have gotten drunk if he hadn't have made the choice to drink the first beer. But he made the choice. How do you think folks get into pornography? And by the way, pornography is getting worse and worse all the time. Maybe you're not up on that and read about it much, but I do. It's horrible. And now they're talking about church people being into pornography secretly. But it won't be secret long. Those tentacles will wrap around you, and eventually you're going to be found out. Squeeze will come. The wicked, wild life of some teenage kids sitting in churches and yet talk about the stuff of the world and dress like the world. Listen, the tentacles are wrapping around. I can see it happening. But we know the truth. You can't blame anybody but yourself. Look at verse 20. Now, I didn't have this, I don't think, for the screen, Joel, but if you get that up there, please, verse 20 and 21. I just want you to see back to Jude. But ye, beloved, build up yourselves on your most holy faith. Come on, build yourself up on your most holy faith and pray in the Holy Ghost. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Protect your intimate relationship with God. Maintain vital contact with God. I think a quiet time between you and God is very, very important. And I believe with all of my heart that we need to start agreeing with God and quit trying to change how we feel this teaches. Let's just agree with God. I think agreement is the key. Protect your intimate relationship with Him. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 13. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. God will provide. Do you know why God will provide? Because God is able. We must take the first step in response to God. And I know this sounds so bad, but people come to me and say, "Preacher, I have got so much financial trouble and heartache. I don't know what to do. I don't have any money. What should I do?" I almost hate to talk to them. It sounds like I'm a money grabber. I'm not a money grabber. I said, well, the first thing you ought to do is come to church and pay tithe. They look at me like, I just told you I don't have any money, pay my bills. And you want me to come to church and pay tithe? I said, that's the secret. You can't start anywhere if you don't do what God already told you. Come on, amen. I say, you know what you should do, because God will provide now, go to church, pay 10%. But I'm about bankrupt. And so we look at that and say, well, that doesn't fit me. And so many people won't come to church because they hear. And you'll hear them say, I'm not going to that church. That's all they want is money. You'll hear people talk like that. Not just about this church. I'm talking about churches in general. Well, I don't go to church because all the hypocrites go there and all they want is money anyway. No, once you do things right. It doesn't fit, you see. God has made, however, a way of escape, but it doesn't fit human reasoning. Then we ask down the road, God, why did you allow this to happen? Almost every time, you can tell. And they're going to blame God, and it's not God's fault. God says, I gave you a way out, you didn't take it. God is able, folks. He offers a path of deliverance, but sometimes we don't listen. God sends warnings for our protection. You know what the warning is? Good old-fashioned preaching. That's one of the warnings. God's going to send preaching to help us see what we need to do in order to do things right. And so a preacher will preach. That's part of the warning system. And then a church full of ladies and men who love each other will say, hey, we love you. We're praying for you. Come on. We're on your team. We want you to do things right. Don't do things wrong. Don't make wrong decisions. Our God is able to help you. You can be an overcomer. The IU program's helping tons of people like that. Number 6, and I close. I want you to see verse number 25. Someday I'm going to stand in the presence of His glory. The Bible says, and I'm going to be blameless and faultless. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. Number 6, someday I'm going to stand in the presence of His glory, and I will stand there blameless and faultless. Because He said, I'm going to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. That's powerful. Look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, 4, and 5. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. You know, before you were born, you were chosen to be holy, blameless, being kept from falling. But in eternity, you're going to be there, blameless and faultless, standing before His presence with exceeding joy. You know, I think God is more interested in us just not getting saved, but after salvation, for us to be blessed by His kingdom. When saved, we are eternal. He is able to present us faultless. One day, Jesus Christ is going to present us before the Father as spotless trophies of His grace. I'm going to stand there perfected just like you are. Not here. We'll never be perfected here, or else people won't think so. But there you will, before His presence. I wonder if you understand this thought. My spotlessness and your spotlessness is not based on my performance. It's based on the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm not saved by what I do or what I do not do. I'm saved by who I trust. And that which washes away my sin is not what I do. It's not my performance level. Get off the performance treadmill. Your performance is not good enough. Even the very best you have is not good enough. Get off the performance treadmill and plead the blood. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious. Wow. It's the blood. It's not your performance. It's the blood of Christ. The only way is through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus. The atoning death of Jesus Christ washed in the blood. Spotless, without blemish. God is able. God has the power to do anything and everything. He keeps us from falling down here. He presents us before His throne, for the Father, faultless, without blemish. I got to thinking about that. I'm either going to be presented faultless before the judgment seat of Christ. Now think about this. I am either going to be presented faultless, spotless, at the judgment seat of Christ because I stand in the blood of Christ. Or I'm going to stand in the great white throne judgment with every sin I've ever committed, with every wrong attitude, with every wrong motive. And I will have nobody to go to bat for me. So it's either I'm going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ, washed in His blood, cleansed from my sins, spotless and perfectly made whole, or I'm going to stand at the great white throne judgment and be accounted for all of my sin. You have the choice. The choice is made through salvation. Every born-again child of God is going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ. Every lost sinner is going to stand at the great white throne. If you've never taken Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're going to stand at the great white throne with all of your sins, and you're going to give an account. But at the judgment seat of Christ, I stand there, and the accuser wants to accuse me, and Jesus steps up and says, oh, no, that's one of mine. I know him by name. Woo-hoo! Amen! He's been blood-bought, blood-washed, I present him faultless before the presence of the glory of the Father. Notice what he says, standing in the presence. Go back to that verse number 25. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, dominion, and power both now and ever. Amen. I can imagine Jude standing there in the presence of God saying, wow, what majesty. Whew, what dominion. Power. There he stands in the presence of the glory of God. I want to stand in his presence. I too want to magnify his name. Do you love the Lord Jesus Christ tonight? Is there anything troubling you? I just want to encourage you a little bit. Our God is able. Nothing is impossible. Encourage your hearts tonight. That God is able. And let me tell you one more thing, and I'm closing. Ladies, are coming to musical instruments. You know what God's specialty is? Impossibilities. God's specialty is impossibilities. It's just not possible, preacher, for me. It might be for you or someone else, but not for me. He is the God of the impossible. Let's stand together, please. Heads are bowed for just a moment.